Welcome to the sound of Miles Davis and the Cool. Cool is a word we recognize. Cool means understatement, a kind of relaxed subtlety, like stay cool or be cool. But cool enters the general vocabulary in the 50s, connected to this style of jazz. From listening to this even short excerpt, you probably already have an idea of how this music is cool in the way that you already use the word. After bebop, this music is certainly understated and more relaxed. It also has smoother melodic lines, a lighter sound, thinner textures. It emphasizes subtlety over excitement. But there are some other aspects of cool jazz that probably do not resonate with the general usage of the word cool. Cool jazz often has extended forms, more classical approach, unusual instruments, and experimentation with new time signatures like 5 or 7. But you can learn a lot about the sound of the cool by simply listening to Miles Davis. Most of the time, you'll hear the trumpet played straight. Louis Armstrong and Dizzy Gillespie played the trumpet to get the most volume out of it. You've heard the plunger mute with Bubber Miley or Cootie Williams, but this is a very different sound. Miles is using the mute to make the sound more intimate and just to give it a different kind of personal character. It's subtle. It's a little thinner. The color is a little different. It's the sound of the cool. In class, we'll talk a lot more about Miles Davis and the birth of the cool. But in this podcast, I want to take you on a tour of the range of sounds and musicians who played cool. Let's start with an obvious one. In 1951, John Lewis, Percy Heath, Kenny Clarke, and Milt Jackson formed the Modern Jazz Quartet. What's cool about them? Well, the first thing to notice about this introduction is that it's set up like a fugue. Each instrument plays that little lick. You hear it on the vibes, you hear it on the piano, you hear it on the bass. That's not something we expect from bebop jazz. The second thing you notice is the instrumentation. Instead of the fiery hot trumpet or a saxophone, Milt Jackson plays the vibes. The quintessential cool instrument. Note also how subtle the drum beat is. Yeah, it swings, they're even playing the blues. But the drums are in the background, they're very subdued. You can almost have to imagine the swing beat. So while the Modern Jazz Quartet were 4 African Americans, they were unashamedly classical. They dressed in tuxedos, they played fugues, they even did a whole album of Bach. Yes, there it is, the inimitable sound of the jazz harpsichord. Not something you're going to hear often in this course, but there's John Lewis playing the harpsichord with the Modern Jazz Quartet. Next is one of the most famous and most controversial figures in cool jazz, Dave Brubeck. Dave Brubeck had a fantastic quartet, and in class we'll talk about some of the great experiments they made. But listen now to the sound of Paul Desmond on the alto sax. That's the sound of cool jazz. If it sounds like a clarinet, you're close. Paul Desmond plays the alto sax, but it's so smooth, and he plays it so lightly, it almost sounds like a clarinet. It's also a very melodic way of playing. It's slow enough that you can actually follow the melodies and hear the melodies being developed. But the whole pace and texture of this tells you it's cool jazz. It swings, it's not that slow, but notice how subtle the rhythm section is. You can barely hear the drums. So that's the sound of Paul Desmond playing alto saxophone with the Dave Brubeck Quartet. So what about Dave himself? What does he sound like as a soloist? So unlike Bud Powell, who unleashes a stream of single notes, Dave Brubeck often plays in a block chord style, where both hands play together, and he plays chords and rhythms on the piano. Both Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond like to look for melodic themes that they can repeat. Okay, let's listen to this bit of the solo again. Notice how he starts with an idea, and then it gradually morphs into something else, and then he repeats that idea, so you can follow how he's building structure. The first idea repeats. Dee-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then it becomes a little different melodically. It stays the same rhythmically. Now it's a little shorter. Ya-ba-ba. Ya ba ba, dee ba ba, that repeats. New idea. New idea. Dee ba ba comes back to that idea. Dee ba be ba be ba. Dee ba ba. Another idea. He likes this idea. Grows with it. Back to that idea. Dum bum bum. And then Paul Desmond picks up right where Dave has left off. Now, Dave Brubeck was brought up on a ranch in Central California, and he went to school at Mills College right out of San Francisco. So people started calling this jazz West Coast jazz. There were other white musicians in California, Jerry Mulligan, Chet Baker, Lee Konitz, who were playing this sound, and as we'll see, when Chico Hamilton came to New York to battle against Clifford Brown, that was seen as a kind of East Coast versus West Coast jazz. Not everybody who's playing cool jazz, of course, is either white or from California, but we sometimes refer to this as West Coast jazz. Let's hear a couple of other small groups that are from the West Coast that do play in this style. As we learned from Miles Davis's album Birth of the Cool and from the Modern Jazz Quartet, unusual instrument combinations are in fact the norm in cool jazz. And the same is true for this group. This is Chet Baker and Jerry Mulligan. They formed a quartet in 1952 that has no piano. It just has Chet Baker on trumpet, Jerry Mulligan on bari sax, another unusual instrument, right? Not the higher alto or tenor, but the low bari sax. But Chet and Jerry formed this group with bass drums and two horns, but no piano. So it has a kind of unusual sound. Here is Jerry Mulligan on the bari sax. It should be pretty easy to hear that there's no piano on this recording, that the drum and bass rhythm is fairly subtle, and that Jerry Mulligan, while he's playing what's obviously a saxophone, it's a larger, more unwieldy instrument. It has an unusual sound, which again is fairly typical for cool jazz. Jerry Mulligan is a beautifully melodic player, and he'd been involved in cool jazz since the very beginning. In fact, he wrote Boplicity for the Birth of the Cool Nonet that you've listened to. But now here is Chet Baker, who plays the trumpet in a way a little bit like Miles Davis. Note that because there's no piano, Jerry Mulligan fills out the harmony by playing riffs behind Chet Baker. And by the way, you won't have to distinguish Chet Baker from Miles Davis on any exam. You could, but that's a pretty subtle difference, and I won't make you do that. In fact, you don't really have to know the individual names and styles of most of the musicians on the rest of the podcast, but you do need to be able to recognize the sounds, and I want to give you an example of some of the other kinds of sounds that I might play and have you identify as cool. Here is one of my favorites and one of the most important California groups, the Chico Hamilton Quintet. There's a lot to hear in this recording. Carson Smith is playing bass, Jim Hall is playing guitar. It's not that unusual to have guitar instead of piano. But you may have noticed the cello. That's Fred Katz playing the cello, and Buddy Collette is playing the clarinet. Again, it's kind of an unusual combination of instruments. While there are lots of other great drummers who played in the cool style, Chico Hamilton is the name I'm going to ask you to remember. He played the drums with different kinds of mallets and got different kinds of sounds and kind of exemplified the idea of an understated but still swinging cool drummer. Now, even though Chico's an African American, when he brought the group to New York in 1956 and they did a gig opposite Max Roach and Clifford Brown at Basin Street East in New York City, everybody started talking about the East Coast versus West Coast sound. And part of that has to do with these two bands sounded very, very different. You'll meet the Max Roach Clifford Brown Quintet next week when we talk about hard bop. Here is another West Coast group led by a drummer, Shelly Mann. This group is Shelly Mann and His Men. In fact, on an album called The West Coast Sound. When we get to the solos, it might be a little hard to distinguish this as cool jazz, but at least at the beginning, it's highly arranged, and you can hear that the parts have been written down in advance. Unusual instruments, like the tuba here. The drums play a kind of almost melodic role. But mostly, this kind of highly arranged beginning is very different from the head arrangements that we heard in bebop, where the trumpet and sax simply play the melody in unison and then blow a series of solos. Now let's listen to Lee Konitz on alto sax and Lenny Tristano, rather idiosyncratic pianist. Now, in the last piece, everything was highly arranged. This is just a quartet playing a piece that, in fact, some of you may know, "Swonderful" by George Gershwin, a piece that Charlie Parker renamed "Stupendous" when he played a new melody over it. This piece isn't quite as highly arranged, but again, you'll hear the subdued rhythm section, and listen especially for how the piano plays in the background. Now, if you're confused and you say, well, gosh, that sounds a little bit like Paul Desmond and Dave Brubeck, bingo, you got it. You're starting to hear elements of style. So while Lenny and Lee play in an individualized personal style, it's a little bit different. In general, you're starting to hear that both of these bands play in cool style. And again, I won't make you distinguish between Tristano, Konitz, Brubeck, and Desmond. But you should start to hear that they actually are all playing in the same cool style. Okay, this one's a little different. What instrument is playing? Yes, well, trombone's a pretty good guess, but in fact, that's Cy Toff playing the bass trumpet. Right, you probably didn't even know there was such a thing. But it's just another example of cool musicians playing unusual instruments. Okay, so we've been talking mostly about small groups, but one of the things the cool era does is it helps bring back larger bands. It's not always a traditional big band, because part of the point of cool was to have unusual instruments, but you often get 9, 10, or 12-piece bands that have flute, French horn, tuba. So you'll meet Gil Evans in class. Gil Evans is the arranger who worked with Miles Davis. And Gil Evans also made his own recordings. So here's the Gil Evans band from the album Out of the Hot in 1961. You can hear that the piece is highly arranged, some unusual instruments, the trumpets are playing with mutes, and that the soloist only gets a couple of seconds at a time and then something else is orchestrated behind him. Now, probably the most famous band of the cool era, big band, is Stan Kenton, who actually called what he played progressive jazz. But it's closely linked to cool, and there were lots of West Coast, mostly white players, playing in his band. It had a reputation for being the loudest big band, with a very serious and intense sound. He asked his band, his musicians, to play without vibrato. So it's a very powerful, big sound. Here's the Stan Kenton Big Band playing progressive jazz in the 1950s. Despite the fact that it's loud and brassy at times, you should be able to recognize some of the other hallmarks of cool jazz. It's highly arranged, it's interested in timbre and texture, In fact, that's part of why you get the high, brassy trumpets, but mixed with guitar and then trumpet playing in counterpoint. Here's a slightly more experimental piece written for the Kenton Band by Bob Grattinger in 1948. It's Thermopylae from the album City of Glass. Well, this is heavy stuff. Not everyone is going to like this. But if you think about the style characteristic of cool that was to be more arranged, to have the composer more involved, this is a piece that's moved a little bit further along that spectrum. It's almost classical that it's been composed and written out, and it doesn't swing, doesn't have a lot of solos. So some people call this music third stream, meaning that there was classical music on the one hand, and jazz was the second stream, but that the third stream was this new music that would be somewhere in between jazz and classical music. Back for a minute to Shelley Mann and His Men. This is a piece by Jimmy Giuffre, a member of that band, called Fugue. Notice how the drums are used as another instrument and how the piece almost has no pulse. This lack of pulse is deliberate. In fact, starting in 1954, Jimmy Giuffre started talking about a new way of jazz with a non-pulsating beat. He wrote, quote, "The beat is implicit, in other words, acknowledged but unsounded. The two horns are the dominant but not domineering voices. The bass usually functions something like a Barry sax, and the drums play an important but non-conflicting role. I've come to feel increasingly inhibited and frustrated by the insistent pounding of the rhythm section. With it, it's impossible for the listener or the soloist to hear the horn's true sound. An imbalance of advances has moved the rhythm section from a supporting to a competitive role. In this music, the drums are integrated but isolated." End quote. Those are the liner notes from Jimmy Giuffre's 1955 Tangents in Jazz. And here's what this new music sounded like. In this case, it sounds as if Giuffre's music really is what he said it was going to be. It still has a steady pulse, but it's implied. It's played in the horns. There's drums, but the drums play a supporting role and don't always keep time. Well, eventually, Giuffre eliminated the steady pulse of the bass and drums entirely. Now, we still have music that's being improvised, and we still have instruments that are sort of associated with jazz. We have a clarinet and a piano. But you're right to ask, is this still jazz? It's improvised on the clarinet. Is that enough? So in some ways, this third stream music, or third stream jazz, is an extension of cool jazz, and at its outer limit, maybe cool jazz isn't jazz anymore. But notice already this question of what jazz is has started to become a major theme. This will continue for the rest of the course as people argue about who can play the music and what it should sound like.